This is a story about control. My control. Control of what I say, control of what I do. And this time I'm gonna do it my way. I hope you enjoy this as much as I do. Are we ready? I am. 'Cause it's all about control. And I've got lots of it.
Hello, everybody, and woohoo! Welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast, Armed and Fabulous. My name is Mikester, and I will be one of your co-hosts. And joining me today, as always, is the illustrious Freedom Guy. Woohoo! Hi, Freedom Guy.
Yes, I am here. Well, I guess I should say I'm queer. But they already knew that since that was the fabulous part, right?
It is a little self-explanatory, but it can't be said too often.
Not at all.
So, let me tell everybody where you can find us, because this is, like, really important, because obviously for this hour of us, you're going to want 23 more hours per day, well, plus 24 on the other days that we don't do this, right? So, our website is at outlightusa.org. Our Facebook and our Twitter are both at facebook.com or twitter.com/outrightusa. And you probably already know this if you're listening online, but just in case, blogtalkradio.com/outrightusa is where you can bookmark and come back and listen to us each week at 3 p.m. Pacific. Yay! So,
and
Freedom Guy...
You know, you can also find us on the Armed and Fabulous on Facebook with facebook.com/armedfab.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for... Yay! Well, so what's on your mind this week, Freedom Guy?
Well, you know, a lot of stuff's on my mind this week. I feel like a bunch of people are trying to claim that they are fame whores when it's really just me and you. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, every time I turn around, there's something in the news about Caitlyn Jenner, there's something in the news about drag queens, there's something in the news in regards to Pride, there's some type of reality bullshit, there's Rand Paul has got, assuming that he knows how to use a chainsaw, out like he's some lumberjack cutting up the tax code. And
dumb.
I mean,
are you serious?
When did they think that they could start being the fame whores that we rightly claimed as our own that we are?
Okay, yeah. I can't agree with you more. I mean, and every time you turn around, even on Facebook, there's always another wannabe celebritarian. And it's just too much for me. Somebody always trying to steal the spotlight, and you ain't going to snatch the tiara off this head, okay? So just,
True, and I mean, I could name them, but then I would play into their whoring for fame, right?
Right. They're using our show for media, right?
I mean,
just kidding.
Okay,
because that shit can easily happen.
I mean, I don't understand any of it.
All right, so let me just kind of like, so everybody knows, we're kind of picking up, I think, about where we left off last week, which was about, well, we won't mention, you know, last week's idiot du jour. Because he's no longer relevant, because
that's how
irrelevant he is. But as for brutalism itself, we're kind of like, there's been kind of a resurgence lately of, I don't know, brutalism itself is not like, you know, beating its chest and going, yeah, we're brutalist. But brutalist behaviors kind of have been coming back to the surface. And it needs to be continue to be addressed because it's a big giant shit stain on our movement. And it needs to be wiped off. It needs to be, you know, I don't know if it needs to be pressure hosed off or what, but if we can illuminate the situation and we can provide our audience with some ammunition to fight back against the encroachment of these, you know, these people who think that free speech is a picture of a dog and a label of that, calling it, you know, Bruce Jenner's cat, people who like that, who just share totally offensive bullshit just for the sake of making some kind of ridiculous statement about free speech, and in the process totally embarrassing libertarianism as a whole by associating us with such crude, vulgar, and actually quite destructive ideologies.
Well, that goes to one of the things that I really was a little upset about was, granted, it's not America. Granted, it's not even my state, right? But in Scotland, where not Scotland Pride, mind you, Glasgow Pride, which is this basically free pride organization, had a meeting, and the transgenders, our transgender siblings that were in this meeting, decided that drag queens could not perform at the parade or at Pride. And while that's their prerogative, and I don't understand, and granted, I'm not transgender, so I can't speak for them, but I can speak how I just don't see how a group of people within the GSM community, the drag queens, the ones who are the ones that, as well as transgenders with them, the two of our group, the little niches in our group that stood up and said no more, the ones that started the riots, you know, in the Compton riots, the ones that started the riots in at Stonewall, the ones that the parade takes its history from, and you're saying that they're not welcome to perform because it makes you feel uncomfortable. And then libertarians get on board and say, well, look at that. The PC liberals are upset about discrimination and their PC ideology. Well, PC is politically correct for those who y'all don't know. So what really, I mean, that just, it almost makes me want to slap somebody in aggression, but I have to remember I'm a principled libertarian, so I don't.
So, I just want to let everybody know, I decided to Google Free Pride Glasgow while you were talking, and there's an update. They have retracted their performance policy, and apparently drag queens are now going to be allowed. And as I'm reading the story, it's kind of sinking into me that, I don't know, I guess I'm going to publicly retract what I said earlier, although what I said earlier would have been valid had my assumption been accurate. But I interpreted the news story I saw this morning as Free Pride being like an alternative to a mainstream Pride organization in Glasgow. So I was kind of saying, well, they have a right to, you know, create a safe space. And now what I'm realizing is that, like, this is the actual cities. This is supposed to be their mainstream pride organization. So I'm going to flip and be like, you know, I agree with what Freedom Guy just said. But I will also say that it's important, I think, to maybe, and this is not well understood because the T in our community is often not fully embraced, but for some transgender individuals, drag performance art is essentially seen kind of like as a form of blackface. So whereas you would not, it's considered today socially unacceptable for a white individual to, literally perform in blackface when there's obviously, actors of color available. That is the same kind of, that's the reaction. I'm not saying I want to take a side on that because, like, obviously it's over because they already retracted their policy. So kind of who cares? But I do think that the fact that this conversation kind of erupted today is a signal that there's kind of, this conversation is not over. They've retracted their statement, but there's some tension there, right? There's a flashpoint waiting to happen, and it might come up again.
Well, and not only will it come up again, it shows those that are not within the GSM community how disorganized and how really a community we're not. I mean, it shows the fact that, you know, when somebody looking on the outside goes, that's really a committee? A community? I mean, they don't even seem to like each other. They don't even tolerate each other. They don't even support and promote each other. And I understand the blackface thing. I get that. But I also know that there's three different distinctions there of someone who is a cross-dresser, someone who is a drag queen, and someone who is transgender. And while as a transgender individual, you may feel that those that cross-dress who just cross-dress or who perform as drag queens aren't living their lives in the way that you think they should, because you've put everything on the line because you're transgender. I mean, I think you really have to stop and think and look and say, wait a second, what are my drag queen siblings trying to accomplish? What is their message? And how can those messages work together, and how can we make it clear that there is a complete and total difference between the three of those different groups within the GSM community?
Yeah, understand, like, I agree with you, is that, I don't know. Actually, to be honest, I don't actually want to take a side in that one. And it would be kind of like the one between RuPaul and the transgender community, because within drag culture, referring to one another as, I'm not even going to repeat the slur aloud, but we all know what the word that RuPaul used quite casually, and which in fact is considered an incredibly degrading slur among transgenders. So there really is, I mean, that's kind of something that those two communities are going to have to figure out. And, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've done drag performance art myself. I don't consider myself representative of really the drag queen community, because I did it for a fundraiser like 3 or 4 times. So I had fun doing it. I can see why people enjoy doing it quite a bit. But to be honest, I can't really like say that I speak for either one of them. All I can say is that I can see both sides, and I can see why there's some tension that's going to take some time to resolve.
I can see both sides too, and I also remember, I guess back in the 80s, when the prides became more about the banking and the capitalist system, that is not free market, and so many of the individuals that were on those boards were talking about when we do our pride, we need to seem normal. We need to be, we need to have women, lesbian marches in, marching in dresses, and men watching, marching in suits and ties. And we don't need to have, you know, we don't need to have drag queens, and we don't need to have leather daddies and all those other little idiosyncrasy things that some people see as slurs. We don't need, they were saying those out loud, that we don't need to see those peoples, those different individual groups at our pride, because we want a sense of normalcy. And for me, I'm not normal, and I don't want to be. And you're pushing a heterosexual agenda.
Oh my goodness, I love that. All right, now that we got it all twisted, let's find out who's in the crosshairs. I don't even want to mention this person because it's another individual. It's actually, it's even worse than
last week's. Can I give the hints, Mikester?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this person is a shock jock, and I use the word jock very loosely. I don't listen to this person. I feel like everything that they do is about being a fame whore and has very little substance or fact-based information. I feel like this person uses the term free speech to their advantage to be a bigot. Maybe I'm wrong, but those are my hints. And if you can't figure it out, or there might be several people that might fall in the category that I just named too. So,
well, all I know is that he's probably been drinking a few too many gay juice boxes, because today he went full blown fake trend. Or actually, I don't know if it was today, but I'm just gonna blurt it out. Well, no, I'm not, because what. I can't do it till the music gets played, right? So, he's just, if you see the picture going around today, he's wearing, are those, I think they're socks on his ears, and he's pretending, I guess, that it's supposed to be like his hair, and he's faking it like he's transgender, I guess. I don't know. I didn't actually click through beyond just like the image that's going around.
If I hadn't seen the headline, I would have thought that he was pretending to be a Hasidic Jew.
Yeah, or maybe, like, I remember being a kid and playing like I was Snoopy that way or something. I mean, like, it just doesn't have anything to do with, I mean, socks on your ears? What is that supposed to have to do with gender anyway?
Well,
but he's
poorly done.
It's very, very poorly done. And he's got this look on his face like he's about to I won't even go there. But about that we have to worship his transition or be considered a hate monger. And whatever. Guess what, Alex Jones? I hate you. You want to talk about a hate monger? You have brought so much hate upon yourself today, and you deserve every shred of it. So eat it up, baby, because you are hated now.
I don't know that I hate him. I find him extremely irrelevant. I mean,
good point.
I knew the name. I had never listened to him. I didn't even know what he looked like until today. I didn't care. I think that it's okay for you to be a shock jock. I mean, it's okay to say things that are shocking to get attention. We often do that on this show. But you have to also have some meaningful or principled conversation about it after you shock somebody. And I just don't see that. And I can't say that he's always like that because I've never listened to him. But, I mean, this for sure doesn't make me want to listen to him. I mean, I guess the only thing that he needs now is the Confederate flag and a cross behind him that maybe lights up and pretends that it's burning. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I share your sense of his irrelevance, but I'm just going to – here's what I hate about the whole situation is that people assume that he speaks for libertarianism. Even though, and I haven't paid a whole lot of, I will admit that, like, back in the day, like, back in the Ron Paul era, when I was first getting exposed to a lot of, like, End the Fed information, and I was learning about the Federal Reserve and all that, there was a time when my journey took me through some of his earlier work, and I remember watching Loose Change and being, like, just shocked by all of it, and, like, there are elements of some pseudo-journalism to what he does, and I'm glad I was exposed to the bits and pieces that were true that I was exposed to, but, like, the majority of it is just batshit nutsville, and on top of that, like, he's not really – how do I explain it? He doesn't really activate people for the cause of actual liberty. What he does is activate people towards – kind of anger and a fist kind of shaking effect at, like, this, you know, the people behind the curtain. Like, it's all about the names behind the curtain. And, like, for me, that's irrelevant. I don't need to know who's behind the curtain. All I have to do is look at their behavior, whether or not they're initiating coercion. And it doesn't matter whether they're doing it or they're puppets in the government, because I'm going to critique their behavior by the same ethical standard. And so I don't really care who's behind that, whether there's a curtain, if there are people behind it, who's in front of it. I can still critique everything that I see without knowing all that. Like, I don't need to know that. And to me, so everything that he does is kind of like a smoke and mirrors effect. Like, he's doing this shady kind of thing that, like, doesn't really, it puts an animosity to, like, a sense of outrage for a kind of macho flash, you know, maybe somewhat naive newcomer to political theory. But it doesn't really channel that into what I see as productive. I mean, running up to someone with an anonymous mask on your face and, like, shouting the word Bilderberg and taking a picture of them while you do it. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're a young street activist, maybe there's a place for that in your journey. But my hope is that people grow out of that. And my hope would have been for Alex Jones long ago that he would have grown out of it too. So I just hate that he's, you know, embarrassing us like that. So enough about him. Let's play the exit clip.
Now, if you're going to act like a bitch, then you're going to die like a bitch.
Sorry, I just clicked it when you started.
That's okay. I think that he doesn't want you to look at the people in front of the curtain who, in my opinion, are far more despicable, because those people actually know that what they're saying isn't about liberty, but they still continue to say it because they're receiving some type of benefit from those behind the curtain. And I want to know what those that are doing that, I want to know their motives as well. I think he's one of those people in front of the curtain.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear to me that there's some kind of...
Well, I think he's one of the reasons that when we go to events and when we talk to people one-on-one and they're like, well, libertarians hate Jews. Libertarians hate homosexuals.
Yeah, this is part of why they think that.
They think it because of assholes like you.
Yeah. It's like, it makes our job so much harder to have people like that out there. And It's so easy. Like, I mean, if he isn't COINTELPRO or whatever of his own, like, it's almost like they set up this straw man so they can knock it down. So we have this really insane person out there, you know, getting a lot of attention and calling it libertarianism. And then it's obviously a very easy, like a transfer, like an association transfer tactic or whatever. Like they're getting people to, just like Rand Paul, they're getting people to, I mean, there are two different categories, but they're doing whatever they can to like transfer libertarian ideas back onto, if they can't marginalize it, then they want to assimilate it. Because to me, that's good news.
And there's some truth, right? I mean, I'll speak to, you know, the anti-Israel part. You know, there's so many within the, I wouldn't say so many, but there are, or it appears to other people that the party is anti-Israel. Because a lot of times what we'll say is we want to end the over $3 billion a year in aid to Israel. Well, that's true, but that's not anti-Israel. That's anti-foreign aid that we can't afford, and we don't want to just stop it for Israel. We want to stop it for every other country that happens to be getting it. So, I mean, so when he comes out and or we have something that happens like within Scotland and people are talking about, you know, well, look, they can't be seen as a community. So, and all they really care about is hurt feelings. If I hear the word hurt feelings one more time, I think I'm going to slap somebody. Because while, yes, it is just words, and yes, it's quote-unquote free speech for you to call me a faggot. If you're doing it in any way, okay, and I'm not saying that there aren't some things that we shouldn't try to embrace, but if you are consider yourself a right-wing heterosexual Christian and you're saying and you call me a faggot, I don't really take that as a term of endearment.
Right.
And maybe
right.
Maybe I shouldn't call you a Christian because really and truly that's a slur on other Christians who actually know the Christ teachings. So do those hurt feelings matter? Of course they matter. I don't know that I need the government to legislate that in any way. Right?
Right. Pardon me. I was just tweeting. So, where were we?
Well, fame whores.
Oh.
I mean.
Oh, perfect. I'm tweeting
for
attention.
Let me just name the fame whores. You know, they want so much fucking. Oh, they want so much fame. Excuse my French, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. So let me just name them for you.
Do, darling.
Caitlyn Jenner, yes, fame whore. She did to guts? Sure. Did she have some great things to say? Sure. Is she still a fame whore? Yes. Alex Jones, fame whore. Did what he did took some guts? Well, I guess so, because now he's getting hated on left and right. But I don't know that anything that he said was important or had any validity. So that puts him in a different fame whore category than what Caitlyn Jenner's in. Rand Paul, fame whore. Hillary Clinton, fame whore. They're also power-hungry warmongers, but they're fame whores as well. But they're in the same, those two individuals are in the same boat.
Bloody, monstrous merchants of death would be my...
You know, I mean, I don't really see a whole lot of difference between Rand Paul and Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't see hardly any difference. So,
well,
Donald Trump, fame whore. Okay? Donald Trump is in the same category as Alec Jones. He only says, the only reason he says this stuff is because he knows it'll get him on the nightly news. I think maybe the difference between Donald Trump and Alex Jones is Donald Trump probably believes the vile stuff that he spews. You can dissect any one of those number of people and say, is there some truth in some of the things that they say? Maybe. But I can say that the sky is blue, but that doesn't mean that everything else that comes out of my mouth is truth. If I'm doing a monologue, right?
Right, right.
So we have to look at it, and I'm not saying that we should take things out of context, but, you know, Donald Trump's anti-Hispanic comments are not a blanket statement on the whole Hispanic community, which is what he intended, even though in the middle of it somewhere he says, I'm sure there are some good, hardworking Hispanics. Okay, so that's the truth that you said, and then you basically said they're all this other stuff. I mean, it's like... I don't give a rat's ass about Jesse Ventura. Fame whore. You're getting a little bit of publicity because you said that you would support Bernie Sanders. And you're still saying you're a libertarian. That's like me being a libertarian and supporting Rand Paul. I guess I could still be one, right? Wrong.
No, not so much.
I mean, if you're selling out for the win, you're still selling out. Is there reasoning? Is there a great deal of logic in your reasoning to vote for Rand Paul? Sure. There's some logic there. And you can reason it all you want to, but once you chose to do it, you still threw some of your principles out the window, period. And if you don't think so, well, then either you're not intelligent or you didn't understand what the principles of libertarianism were or you never were a libertarian. I mean... It's okay to do that. It's just, I mean, come on. Obama, fame whore. You know, I mean, the list is pretty big. I mean, just about everybody in either of the two-party system are fame whores. Or they're warmongers, one of the two, and sometimes both. More often than not, they're both. I don't have a problem for people knowing that you're a fame whore. Yes, the Maxer's a fame whore. Get over it. But he wears that label proudly. Right? He's not out there saying all this stuff and go, well, I'm just telling you all this because It's the truth, and it's about liberty, and you all need to know it. It's not really about me. No, for the Mikester, sometimes, and on Sunday night, for sure, it's about him. On Sunday night,
yeah,
Miss Deputy
right.
Mary
wait,
is a Seymour.
Wait, did we name the hold on. So while we're shamelessly fame whoring, grab a pen, write this down. All right, 6 p.m. Eastern. No, Pacific. 6 p.m. Pacific for 90 minutes of pure fame whore pleasure. Just dripping, oozing, pulsating, moist fame whore action.
With some music thrown in by talented people and some maybe some poetry and maybe
right.
some entertainment, hopefully, and some of those
that's
people may be
whore.
Artists. But it's still
right.
they want the fame. It's about
right.
being a fame whore.
Right. Because, I mean, this is America, so fame.
I mean, if
and
you're in
you
front
say,
of the scene, you're
you play
about
your cards
fame
right,
and power.
Backstage pass.
If you're behind
you
the scenes,
right.
you're about power. Or you're not relevant. Except for the times that the Democrats and the Republicans want to come and pander for your vote. And then you're relevant.
Well.
You're only relevant for the fact of, oh my God, the poor black man. Yes, the black man needs to we need to make sure that the African-American communities are cleaned up. We need to make sure that the African-American communities, da-da-da-da-da, all these different things, but only during an election year so you will vote for us because the Democrats really don't give a rat's ass about you.
So think about it. If the candidate is a fame whore and the target of the pandering, does that make them like a fame John? Right? You know, like a fame, like a participant. They're selling, get it, a fame whore, like, you know, hookers and Johns. Hello.
No.
They're customers.
No. They are the whore. Those that are in those different communities, those voters, they're the Johns because they're paying with their vote.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So you are nothing but a fame John if you vote for them.
Hashtag fame John. I like it.
It could take some explaining to catch on, but once it does, oh, it'll be everywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know that. I really don't know that anybody from either party cares about anybody but the rich. I mean, I think that may be the reason that Bernie Sanders kind of scares them. Even though I don't agree with what Bernie Sanders proposes, I'm not a big, and by all means, his schemes are not Robin Hood-ish, because Robin Hood actually stole from the rich what they had already taken from the poor and gave it back to the poor. Bernie Sanders is talking about stealing from the rich and just giving to the poor. What we have to do is, and that scares the living shit out of the bigwigs of either party, right? It scares the hell out of the automotive industry, the oil and gas industry, the banking industry for sure. So don't get me wrong. That's Bernie Sanders scares them. I would not be surprised if Bernie Sanders was unable to continue because of health reasons in the race. Not that I'm throwing that conspiracy out there, but, you know.
Right. Of course not.
Of course not, because later on when they heard it here first, yes, I'm a fame whore. Yes, I said it first. Only because it was based on conspiracy theorists that I have all of those conspiracies I've looked at, but no, I had nothing to do with it, and I'm not involved. I mean,
allegedly.
Yes. I mean, it's sort of like, I mean, I think the Confederate flag thing has really killed itself, right? Because when you look at the fame of these people that, oh my God, they're banning the Confederate flag, and I think banning the Confederate flag is different than destroying or knocking down our part of the history of the state. I think sometimes we work so hard to eradicate the bad part of our history that we have a tendency to forget it, and it ends up being repeated, or it gets even more whitewashed because there's nothing out there in your face saying that it happened. But with the Confederate flag, now that it became this fight, and so many on social media and so many different people were saying, yes, they should have a right. They should have a right to wave the flag. Well, I don't care whether they wave the flag, wave the Confederate flag or not. I could care less. That's their business. I may or may not think that they have prejudices for doing it, but when the majority of the people that are now coming out and you're seeing are all talking about hate, yeah. I mean, when people said they were against the Confederate flag, I mean, oh my God, some of the blacks in some communities are like, you mean other people don't like it either? And they started actually attacking and taking it off of people's private property. Well, that's where you got to draw the line, right? Let them leave it up so you know that that person is the way they are.
Well,
I don't know that we can.
What were you going to say?
I'm just going to say I don't know that those little nuances that are happening within the voice of liberty and freedom and quote unquote hurt feelings and things can change overnight, but I sure think that we're on the right track.
So, you know, on the subject of brutalism, I'm gonna kind of throw a positive observation out there, and some of you might have seen this on my personal page, but I'm just gonna repeat it out loud because it felt really good. It was actually some of the best meditating time I get is when I'm walking my dog, and I come up with these brilliant thoughts, and I come home and I post them on Facebook, and this was yesterday's, which is that I'm actually grateful to brutalism because it has kind of crystallized the difference between us and them. And what I mean by that is because, paleo-libertarianism has been around for a while. And all of that disgusting sort of bigoted, that whole, wearing white hoods is free speech kind of ad, the whole David Duke thing, all of that is like, there's been a thread of that in I don't want to say in libertarianism, but there has been a thread of that kind of running around within in our space. I'll put it that way, in libertarian spaces. And so we already knew that, right? But last year when Jeffrey Tucker wrote that article about brutalism and humanitarianism, he put a new name on that behavior, And all of these, like this vermin came out of the woodwork and started like celebrating brutalism. And what happened is it was so disgusting and it had just been like shown for what it truly was that the rest of us, all the rest of the humanitarians had to kind of like be like, whoa, you guys do that over there. Like we all stepped, basically we used our freedom to disassociate and place a distance between ourselves and them. And what has been the effect of that really is to create a polarity or a contrast. Like it's sometimes it was accused of that was a divisive thing to write. And I want to be divided from brutalism and push it far away. And that has been by proxy of that, paleo libertarianism. It has been an albatross around our movement for decades now. And now it's finally shown for what it is, and it's being distanced from us. So an outsider who looks at us now can see them, and then they can see us, because while we're here at a distance away from them now, our humanitarian voices are becoming kind of strengthened, you know, by association with one another, right? So whereas before, I was isolated here in Arizona around other a pretty conservative movement, and now I can Carrie and I can identify, for instance, a Freedom Guy, and it's not even just Freedom Guy, but there's like we're connected online, and we know who one another is, and we associate more often, and that's improving the quality of our message, and it's creating a contrast that people can see from the outside. And I'm beginning to see people react to that, right, in a really positive way. The message is growing in a way that it didn't used to. And so I think inadvertently, brutalism has done us a favor.
I would say you're absolutely right. I don't want it to sound like we're so anti-free speech that we want to monitor what you say or what you do. That's not the case at all. But what happens is I'm not – for me, hate is a form of aggression. And so when you – especially when you act upon it, whether that's inaccuracies or untruths that you post or that you spew out at an event, when you align yourself with other groups that are known to actually openly hate, I just think that there's so many more of us in the party that are on that humanitarian level, where the reason that we think that the private sector is better to take care of helping the poor is because we truly believe that there's enough of us out there that are good enough that are going to help the poor. And that's the humanitarian side of that. And the brutalist side of that is, well, screw them if they starve.
They deserve it.
They deserve it. They should have found a way. The brutalist standpoint is, you know, when it comes to the GSM community is, well, they're just thinking that they deserve special treatment. That's the way the brutalists see the GSM community, is that everything that we talk about is in regards to the fact that we want some type of special treatment or there were some type of collective. And the humanitarian viewpoint is, oh my God, nobody should be treated that way. Nobody should have to go through that. You know, the humanitarian doesn't say that gay man should be able to donate blood. The humanitarian says everybody should be able to do with their body as they wish and should be able to donate, and everybody should be able to donate blood.
You know, I want to just kind of jump in because I realize in part of the description of the show, I said that I was going to explain why refusing to reinforce social hierarchies through language as a revolutionary act. And I want to make sure I squeeze that in because you just brought up a feature of brutalism, which says that, it's just free speech and that we're trying to like control the words that they say. No, I don't really care what language you use. All I'm telling you is how I'm going to use language, and I'm going to use language in ways that deny power relationships that are harmful to humanity. And here's what I mean by that. There are certain kind of status quo assumptions built into the way that we use language, and it includes hierarchies of power between the genders. So there are figures of speech built into the idea that men are superior over women. There are figures of speech that have the idea built into them that heterosexuals are superior to homosexuals. There's an idea built into our language that cisgender people are superior to transgender people, or that, white people are superior to other races. All of those assumptions are built into the way that the English language, well, I don't know. I'm saying English because I don't know. See, that's actually Eurocentric too, but I don't know. I don't speak the other languages, so I don't know. But in English, and that's just a legacy of the fact that our society was like that, and our language still carries with it these things that we take for granted every day. So becoming aware of all of those little, and the important thing to know is that the state and its systems of harm, its coercive systems of oppression that still remain today. In other words, it's reflected in actual aggression, actual initiations of physical force. So the language is reflected in the political system. So it's a revolutionary act in the very truest sense to identify those language patterns and then refuse to participate in them. So I believe very strongly that choosing my words carefully is a form of it's a form of intellectual warfare, right? It's a revolutionary act. Like, it's quite literally, it takes away the power from those ideas and it builds a new language around the idea that we really are all equal. And I don't mean equal in every respect. I'm saying that we all, like, within us, that kernel of humanity that we each have is equal. We all have the same individual rights. Right? That's what we have that is equal. And when we build respect for that into the way that we use our words, we really lay a groundwork for a radical change.
Well, and that's why it's so important for the GSM community to be united and supportive and promotive of one another and working together. And then that GSM community working with every other, and within the GSM community, outright itself, building those bridges between the GSM community and other communities, between libertarians and non-libertarians, between GSM libertarians and other libertarians, and making sure that when we do so, that we are the ones that, I don't want to say dictating, but we are ones that are setting the tone and the acceptability of the speech that is being used and the discussion that follows. Because
well,
we have to set those tones, right? If we don't set those tones, or if we don't set I don't want to say rules, but if we don't set the expectations of those discussions and we allow them to dip back down into those...
Example. If we don't set the example.
Yes. We have to set the example, and we have to also say, while we're setting that example, that this other form of speech that encourages those hierarchies is not acceptable. And not acceptable because we're trying to infringe upon your free speech, but not acceptable because by doing it continues...
A world
the societal
built on dominance
viewpoint
and coercion is unacceptable.
To infringe upon other people's liberties.
Right. Living in a world that continues to coerce and dominate human beings and rob us of our individual right to navigate the world freely and to become self-actualized in a manner of our own choosing is unacceptable. That's the whole point of libertarianism. So, yeah, we're not trying to control anybody's speech because we don't, you know, it's not about dominance, but it is about... As Freedom Guy, I love how you put that, you know, setting the, whatever you want to call it, example. Those of us who understand the importance and the significance of that, we have to lead the way. And unfortunately, paleo-libertarianism and its brutalist spawn, they don't understand that. And, you know, I don't know what to tell them. I guess they're going to have to freely disassociate and go live in their bigoted hellhole of a commune or whatever they are whatever it is they want to go sit in the woods and polish their guns and talk about how much they I don't know about how much they secretly yearn for gay sex in the dark of the night.
and
leave the rest of us alone.
Well, granted, hey, I'm all for you being them, you or them or whoever being able to say whatever the hell they want to say, right? I will fight for you to be able to say the vile crap that you think that you need to say. But while I still say that it's within your right to say it, it's also my right to denounce what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that's how I feel about it.
Hey, that's unacceptable. And you're not, I can't associate, because that's where my power comes, right? Your power, they think their power is within the free speech. My power comes in to say, wait a second, I'm going to use my free speech to denounce that what, not your free speech, but that what you're saying is unacceptable. And then I'm also going to use another one of my rights, which is my freedom of association, to choose not to associate with you. And that's what we have to start doing. We have to stand up and we have to say, yes, you're allowed, you have every right to say that, but what you're saying is unacceptable. And I'm not going to be involved in this conversation anymore, and I'm not going to associate with you. Instead of saying, wait a second, maybe I should tolerate you because I'm asking you to tolerate me as a member of the GSM community, screw that crap.
And
right?
On that note, I have been the Mikester.
And I have been the Freedom Guy.
Be back next week, everyone.